Thank you for accepting this interview. Last year we had Peter Rainsworth here, so another shadowy Secretary of State for Environment, I think. And he said that one of the main challenges for the new coalition government would be to find and promote new cleaner sources of energy. So my first question is, are you satisfied with the energy policies of this new government?
I'm not satisfied with any of the policies of the new government, as you would perhaps expect me to say. The energy policies, we left a framework in place for large-scale renewables, community-scale renewables, and small-scale renewables. And the small-scale renewables is basically the solar panels. Uh-huh. And the government has embarked on a consultation to change the feed-in tariffs, the tariffs that people receive if they invest in solar panels and they get the green electricity into their house and feed it back into the national grid. So the micro-generation subsidies, they announced a consultation. Then before the end of the consultation, they did another announcement saying, we've changed our minds, it's no longer going to be, I think, 40 pence. It's going to go down to 23 pence. So it's a reduction of 60%. Now, lots of people had planned, invested, undertaken work, and had the solar panels, you know, they're coming on the ship from China, which takes 12 weeks, and were ready to invest. All those people who had invested all that money have been left absolutely high and dry by the government changing these tariffs in the middle of a consultation period. So not only is do we think it's wrong to change the tariffs so quickly, we think that business needs certainty to invest in green growth and jobs. And the one thing that this government is not doing is giving anybody any certainty about the regulatory environment in which they're operating. And that's very bad for business. Mm-hmm. We've seen our share of green investment globally dropped. We were fifth last year. We've gone to 17th in 1 year. That's because people are worried about the intentions of the new government.
Do you think it's reasonable to maintain an investment in clean energies in a period of economic uncertainty?
You can't not. You have to, because if you know, if we have an economic crisis today, we know also that we have a climate change crisis, which in terms of reducing our gross national product is many, many, many times more worrying and potentially destructive globally than this economic crisis. So it has to maintain it. By all means, change the tariff, but do it in a way that is measured and allows business the confidence to invest. And that is not what they have done.
I think that earlier this year you proposed a plan by the coalition government to sell a huge part of the British forest land to private businesses, known as. And I think that there is still some concern about the relaxing of regulations for building things in national parks. What's your position on this matter?
You've done your research, clearly. That's fantastic. The government had a plan to sell off England's forests, not Scotland's, not Wales, mm-hmm. not Northern Ireland's, only England's, to raise £100 million. And we as a party, but the country as a whole, were completely against this because if you have a national asset, once you've sold it, it's gone forever. And we thought privatisation was a bad idea. It's a poor way of raising revenue. It's a disastrous policy when carbon is going to have a price that can only increase in the green economy as we go on. Carbon is going to become more and more valuable. The forests are our biggest carbon sink and our biggest carbon capital asset, so it didn't make sense long term to get rid of them. And finally, the private sector has shown itself to be a very poor manager of forests. Rich people buy forests because they want to say, I've got a forest. And because the land value goes up at about 6 or 8% a year, which is certainly a lot better than any bank interest at the moment. But they're very poor at managing, at planting trees, at looking after the trees, at maintaining access, etc. There's no obligation on people to give access. So the government went through this consultation period. 700,000 people signed a petition against the sell-off, and eventually we forced them into a government U-turn. There is still a panel that is going to report. The interim report is coming out in early December. The final report comes out in June next year, which will look at the ownership. But I'm hoping that the big row that we had last year is going to, well, this year, it was February, is going to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So there was a big battle with the forests, and amazingly, we won it, which I was obviously very pleased about. What was the second part of your question?
The concerns about those regulations about building on national parks.
Oh, yes, yes. There's a whole raft of planning policy which is being changed. Mm-hmm. The government wants local authorities to have a duty to give permission to build houses, and it's forcing them to plan for 15 years worth of housing in their local areas. And in the national parks, at the moment, the planning framework for the national parks is about 57 pages long. It's a big document, it's lots of details. The government wants to give them a duty to promote sustainable development. Mm-hmm. And what that could mean is that they have to balance the building of homes or the building of homes, houses, businesses, alongside their duty to protect the natural environment, to protect the landscape. At the moment, they just have to protect the landscape. Mm-hmm. And that can force them into some very difficult decisions. And we've already had one planning application approved under the current rules for 400 homes right in the middle of one of our national parks in an area of, it's called outstanding natural beauty, with no roads, no schools, no hospitals for at least 3 miles and only tiny country roads leading to it. And there's been a big outcry locally about that because it's the site of an old mental hospital. Mm-hmm. But as well as building on the hospital, they're going to be building in all the woodland around it, just rows and streets of houses. So it's almost like a new village being built right in the middle of the national park. So we're very concerned about that. And we're very concerned that it won't be homes for local people, because there the government has also reduced the budget to local councils to build affordable housing for local people. So the developers will come in, the private sector, and say, we'll build some homes. They won't have a front or a back garden because they're for people who only come at the weekend. Mm. And that just perpetuates the cycle of homelessness in the countryside and of rich people from London coming down at the weekend, so you end up with ghost villages with nobody living in them during the week.
And are there plans for to allow local council to get their hands on that sort of land and buy the land to build, let's say, council houses?
Councils have had their budget, their capital budget, cut by 50%. Mm-hmm. I can't describe to you how devastating that cut is, because, you know, even in times of the 1980s, they just got a slightly less big increase. So inflation was at 5% and they got a 3% increase. To cut it by 50% is catastrophic for house building. And so we're really relying on our housing associations to use private sector finance and to build those houses, but we will not get them from councils over the next 3 to 4 years.
Well, thank you very much.